Alright, to start with the Mishnah on the top of Lama Zayin Amun Aleph. The Mishnah says, sure, Shehumu Adam Mino, the Enu Mu'ad, the She'enu Mino. Right, that there's a shore that could possibly be a mu'ad for a certain type of animal, certain species, and not to a other type. Mu'ad de Adam, the Enu Mu'ad de Behema. Possibility that it could be mu'ad for people, and not for humans, and not for animals. Mu'ad de Ktanim, the Enu Mu'ad de Gdolim. That he only, within a species, or within even multiple species, he only attacks the younger, or the smaller animals. Right, the bigger ones, he does not attack. Etchim mu'ad lo, misham alim, nezek shalim. Wherever he is a mu'ad for, he'll pay nezek shalim, and he's qualified to make him into nezek shalim. Etchim mu'ad lo, mishalim, chatzi nezek. If he's not a mu'ad, then he'll pay ketam, and he'll pay chatzi nezek. Amru v'nei Rabbi Yehuda. Harizeh mu'ad l'shabbatot, ve'enu mu'ad l'chol. Right, first didn't have a behema assured that it is mu'ad to gore only on Shabbos, not on chol. Why would he be mu'ad to gore on Shabbos, not on chol? So Rashi says it's because he's batel mi malacha, since he's not working on that day. Zachalav dato. Then he has free time and he feels good, so he uses that excess energy to go and gore people. Tosfos brings down from Yerushalmi because he doesn't recognize people. People are wearing their big day Shabbos. So he's caught off guard, or he thinks that there are new people there. There's something that's unusual to him, strangers, and therefore he gores them. So Amar lahem the Shabbatot mishalem nezek shalem the motchol mishalem chatzin nezek eno chanami. You can have such a condition where an animal will be mu'ad for Shabbos and enu mu'ad l'chol, and he'll pay nezek shalem if he gores on Shabbos, and he'll pay chatzin nezek if he gores on chol. Ematai hu tam? When does he become a tam? Mishiachzor bo gimel yemei Shabbatot. Right, then the only way to remove this problem is not simply if he doesn't gore, but obviously he has to not gore on three Shabbatot in order to remove the status of mu'ad from this animal. So now we have a machlokas here in the Gemara between Rav Zvid and Rav Papa. Itmar, Rav Zvid Amar, ve'enu mu'ad tanan, that when the Mishnah says all these examples, for instance, mu'ad l'adam, right, and then we say ve'enu mu'ad l'behema. So he says there's a vav there. Ve'enu mu'ad tanan. Above are ainu mu'ad tanan. Ainu mu'ad tanan without the vav there. What's the difference if there's a vav or not a vav? Says this. Rav Zvid Amar ve'enu mu'ad tanan. Hadama havi mu'ad. That had it not been for the vav indicates that there's action taken in both instances. So for example, in the Mishnah, if we say mu'ad adam, then the animal would automatically also be mu'ad l'behema. And what it says, v'eino mu'ad l'behema, means that the animal did not gore animals that it saw, and therefore it has taken away its status from mu'ad as a behema.
Actively
removing its status of mu'ad in order to be a tam. So that's what the vav achibur there does. The vav says that they're both created the same way. One created by action to create the mu'ad, and the other one created by the inaction, right, that creates it, or allows it to be a tam for those areas. V'papamar, eino mu'ad tanan. When it says "Einu mu'ad without the vav," means the stama lo havi mu'ad. No, that's the result. Just because it's a mu'ad l'adam does not mean it's a mu'ad l'behema. And therefore, if it's gored people, then with regards to behema, it's still a tam. In order to become a mu'ad for a behema, I would have to go ahead and gore behemot three times. So now why? Rav Zvid dayek mi seifa, right? Rav Papa dayek mi reisha. Each of them bolstered their opinion from different parts of the Mishnah. Rav Zvid Daik Misefa, Rav Zvid gets his position from the Seifa that it is Mu'ad Iktani. So there's in the Mishnah, Mu'ad Iktanim, Ve'eno Mu'ad Gdolim. So it says he's a Mu'ad Iktanim and not for Gdolim. Now, Iyamart Lishmoma, if you explain Ve'eno Mu'ad Iktani, right, that means that you need an active to not be this way, Hatsame Havi Mu'ad, then Hatsame will be a Mu'ad, Hakamash Malan, what is this part of the Mishnah teaching us? Da'filu Miktanim Gdolim, Nami Misami Abu Mu'ad, that even when he just scores Ketanim, nevertheless, automatically becomes a Mu'ad for any size animal. Right? Unless we see him being inactive when he sees Gedolim, or he establishes himself as a Tam when he sees Gedolim. Elam Art, if you say like Rav Papa, that Eino Mu'ad Tani, that Sam Aloha be Mu'ad, that in general it wouldn't be a Mu'ad. I mean, if he gored Ketanim, he would not automatically be a Mu'ad for Gedolim. Hashda yesh lomar miktanim l'ktanim de'almo stama lo avi mu'ad miktanim l'gdolim tzricho meimar do avi mu'ad. So if we have, based on the way right, Rav Papa is learning, he says that we already established then earlier in the Mishnah that if you are a mu'ad for one species, it would not make you a mu'ad for the other species. So he's saying, if we're saying interspecies, if you're looking from, for instance, let's take another shore and a chamor, and when he gores the shore, right, then we don't say he's automatically a mu'ad for the chamor, which is a different species but of the same size, right, then certainly, and this is his statement, this is Ravid's position, that it's more likely that an animal, right, would gore somebody in a different species than he would gore somebody of a different size. I mean that he would gore all small animals. If it's all small animals, it would be irrespective of the species. So therefore, if you already established when I gore small shvarim, then I am not a mu'ad for small chamorim, then certainly when we're talking about panic bilim, which is a much bigger leaf, right, of course you're not a mu'ad. So why did the Mishnah have to come explicitly state that for Ganim Bigdolim, I'm not automatically a mu'ad? But I already know that you're telling me that between species where there's a much more or higher likelihood that it should be mu'ad lakol, you're already telling me that it's not mu'ad. So you already told me that. You already told me a bigger kiddush. Why tell me I smaller kiddush now? So that's Rav's position. Now,
because you could argue it.
Right, obviously you could argue with that position that the interspecies, right, whether the interspecies is a bigger chiddush than going from small to big within the same species. I mean,
there's
a
logic
there. Obviously, there is logic, but obviously there is logic, but you could argue the other way.
It's not an indisputable.
Right, exactly. I remember the having one of Papa. So whatever Papa is, deal. Come on, our Yitzchak Saka Daf Kamino Hoyo Uparad Bay. Bahumina, part space. Right? So that's what Papa's answer, which is what everybody here is saying, is listen, once he is a mu'ad in that species, it's irrespective of the size of the species, meaning that he has something against shvarim. He has something against the oxen. So it doesn't matter how big the oxen is, that's what bothers him. Oxen bother him, he's going to gore anything in that category. Doesn't mean that because of the oxen, he's also going to gore chamorim. Lo shnak dolim didei, lo shnak tanim didei. Kamashmalan, the Lavi Mu'ad. So that teaches that it's not a Mu'ad. And that will also, the bigger finish will be that even in interspecies, right, even when it's between species, right, we also say that it's not the case. And Rav Papa daik miresh. Rav Papa makes his diok out of the first part of the Mishnah. The Tani, in the first part of the Mishnah, Mu'ad l'adam, eino Mu'ad l'behema. Right? So, but the Mu'ad for Adam is not Mu'ad l'behema. I amart bishlama, eino Mu'ad nan. If you say eino Mu'ad means stam, Sama lovi mu'ad, hakamash malan. That comes to teach us, that part of Mishnah comes to teach us that filu mi adam behemia, nami sami lovi mu'ad. That would be the chiddush of that part of the Mishnah, that even though he's mu'ad adam. Now adam, for the Gemara before, we see this, Rashi pointed out again, that adam has mazla, and therefore if an animal gores an adam, that's almost an extreme form of mu'ad. And if he's willing to gore an adam, it should be automatic that he would gore a behema, or anything. The fact that the Mishnah comes and makes a chiddush and says that even though he's mu'ad adam, he is not mu'ad the behema. That's according to me, Rav Papa says. Eliyahu Amar, but according to you, Rav Bid, who says that eino mu'ad sani hatami havi mu'ad, that eino chanami, if he gores an adam, then he would automatically be mu'ad for behema. Hashli yesh lomar mi behema le behema stam havi mu'ad adam lehema tzrichu lemeimer davi mu'ad. You already established from one species of animal to another species of animal that it's automatically mu'ad. If that's the case, certainly from Adam. Again, Adam is considered to be like the super species, where if the ox is willing to gore the Adam, he certainly will gore a behema. So if I have him goring shvarim, and you say that includes chamorim already, then what do I need you to come tell me if he's goring Adam, that he's also including chamorim? Right? There's no chiddush in that, because we already got the bigger chiddush, at the fact that he's going between species automatically mu'ad, then certainly when he gores an Adam, he will. And Rav Vid Amar Lecha, how's Rav Vid going to respond to this? It says, Reisha Chazara Kai. So this is talking about Chazara. I mean, the Reisha is not talking about a case, not the Chiddush of the Reisha is not coming to teach you that Mu'ad Adam is Mu'ad Behema, because that we would have known from the fact that Mu'ad Behema is Mu'ad Behema. I don't need that for that piece of me, Rav Vid. Gone, what is this? To have a Mu'ad Adam, Mu'ad Behema. That this animal was both Mu'ad Adam and Mu'ad Behema, which is, anyway, a Pol Yosei from the fact that he's a Mu'ad Adam. And then he goes ahead and he sees three behemoth, and he does not gore them. The kaiga bei behemat vatzim leben ogav mal the tema. I would have had to have, I mean, if this suggests came to the hadar bei me adam chazar the behem alav chazar. He, I would have thought, right? The fact is, when he's a mu'ab adam, that it becomes until he removes the mu'ab adam, right? It doesn't matter what he does with the behemoth, because being mu'ab adam is such a, again, a super species that automatically he's going to be mu'ab behemah, and that's what the chiddush of the mission is. The chiddush of the mission is that even though when he's mu'ab adam, he automatically becomes mu'ab behemah. He has the ability, kamash malon, the chazara de behema mia chazarahi, that he can remove the status of mu'ad de behema despite the fact that he remains a mu'ad de adam. And that's what Rav Zitz says the chiddush of the Mishnah is.
He saw that the first three animals he saw, he gored them, and then they were considered mu'ad. It could be that he saw one, and then he saw 20 oxes and
begin to end. I think your question is a good question. Although we know that Karen is Mishunet. So you have to start with that. Karen is Mishunet. It's unusual for an animal to act in this manner. So the fact that it acts already in this unusual manner three times establishes that as a pattern behavior of this unusual behavior. What it is Mu'ad for is important, and the Gemara is going to discuss all these types of cases that you're describing here. How could it be? If he's Mu'ad for this, he's Mu'ad for that, he's not for this. The Gemara is going to ask all your questions. It's going to be a whole series of questions just asking what you're asking now. The Meitavei. Sumchus Omer, Mu'ad Adam, Mu'ad Behema. We Kavachomer. So Kavachomer. Mal Adam, Mu'ad Behema, Kokoshikain. If he's Mu'ad for an Adam, then certainly he's Mu'ad for a Behema. Michlal. So you can affirm for that. The Tanakama, Enu Mu'ad Kamar. And the Tanakama disagrees with Sumchus, so that would be our Tanakama here. That he doesn't agree that automatically, because you're Mu'ad Adam, you are Mu'ad Behema. So Rav Zvid's got to answer this up. Because Rav Zvid believes, right, that it should be automatic. And here it seems like the Tanakh doesn't believe that. Sumchus achazarakai. Again, Sumchus is not addressing the issue of the original Mu'at, but the removal of the Mu'at. You, the Tanakh, who said that when you become Mu'ad Adam, which also makes you Mu'ad Behema, and you, the Tanakh, said you could remove that Mu'ad Behema, even though you remain a Mu'ad Adam, I, Sumchus, believe that's not the case. Once you become Mu'ad Adam, you cannot get rid of the Mu'ad Behema unless you remove the Mu'ad Adam. If he doesn't remove the Mu'ad Adam, being a Mu'ad Adam is so, right, unusual and such a behavior that is so erratic that we're going to have to assume that as long as he's Mu'ad Adam, he's going to be Mu'ad for everything until he removes that Mu'ad Adam.
So, Amar Rav Ashi, Tashma. Let's prove which one of these opinions is going to prove that it's Rav Zvid. Amru, the Snei Rav Yehuda, Harizem Mu'ad Shabbatot, Veinu Mu'ad Mot Chol. So it says that he's Mu'ad for Shabbat and not Mu'ad the Chol. So Amru Lehen, the Shabbatot Mishalem Nezek Shalem, the Mot Chol Mishalem Chatzi Nezek. Right, that's the end of our Mishnah. Now, Iyamar Tishlama, Veinu Mu'ad Kani, if you hold like Rav Zvid, that it means that you have to actively show that you're not Mu'ad for the other days. It means that he's Mu'ad for Shabbat, you have to actually show that he's not Mu'ad the Chol. That's exactly what they're asking Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Because, and he's answering them. That they're asking him, listen, he's Mu'ad on Shabbos, right? He went and gored on Shabbos, and now he's not goring on Yumei Chol, right? So now what does that status make him? Does that make him, because he's Mu'ad on Shabbat, though, that automatically permeates the Yumei Chol? But the fact that we see him not goring on Yumei Chol is enough to show us that you can remove what would have been the automatic Mu'ad for everything. Now he's removing it Yumei Chol. But Abel Yamar ain't a mu'ad. Tani, if you hold like Rav Papa, Egmurei Huda Kamigamrei Leis. The students are teaching Rav Huda the din. They're making a statement. Mu'ad Shabbatot, ve'enu mu'ad the mochol. Wait a minute. We know that automatically. If he's mu'ad the Shabbos, according to Rav Papa, you would never be mu'ad the mochol. So what are the students telling him? They're telling him the din of the Mishnah, which is, well, he's mu'ad for today. Well, that means he's not mu'ad for chol. We know that automatically as a Mishnah. You're never Mu'ad for Chol unless you would go on Chol. V'tu, ihu makam mahartulu. And then what's Rabbi Yehuda's answer to them? I mean, what is he telling them that they don't already make or don't know from their original statement? If they say he's Mu'ad Shabbat and he's not Mu'ad Chol, then already they told them the answer to the question, which is that he is a Mu'ad Shabbat and he's not Mu'ad Chol. He says that from the beginning, Mishnah is also another proof. Why? Diktani, et she Mu'ado Mishalem Nezek Shalem, et she Einu Mu'ado Mishalem Chati Nezek. If you hold like Rav Zvid, then you have a chiddush here. Perushe kamer farishla. He's explaining what this means. It means that even though you are mu'ad for one category, when you remove the mu'ad from the other category, then you'll pay nezek shalem on this side, and you pay chati nezek on the other side. If you hold like Rav Papa, which means that once you're mu'ad for a certain species, that means that you're not automatically mu'ad for the other species, meaning that it means that you're not here at Tom for everything else. Pascha, right, my. What do you mean? What do I need this additional line in the Mishnah to tell me that a Muad pays full and a Tam pays Chatzinezek? We never heard this. Till this time in the Masechta, we haven't heard that a Muad pays Nezek Shalem and a Tam pays Chatzinezek. Meaning that there's no Chiddush in the Mishnah to tell me that information. Meaning that all you've established in the Mishnah, according to Rav Papa, is that when he becomes Muad for a species, he's Muad for that species. Fine. What does it have to do? Now you have to tell me the din of Muad and Tam? That we don't need. According to Rav Vid, at least there's a Chiddush here. The Chiddush is that you can have someone who's Muad, should be Muad for everything, has a Chazara on a portion of it, and then he can hold the status of Muad and Tam, he can have this joint status and remove portion of the status. So that's a Chiddush. So where it says, so now, if you were to leave the Gemara at this point, it seems that the Gemara is clearly leaning in favor of Rav Zvid. Okay, because the Gemara answered up. Anytime there's a question on Rav Zvid, the Gemara answered it up. With Rav Papa, now we have a major question from the Lashon Mishnah, and the Gemara has no answer on it. But now look at this last line of the Mishnah, and we're going to see all the cases that come after this. They all seem to lean like Rav Papa, and because that halacha is like Rav Papa. He says, "Be'im timso lomar, nami itas is Rav Papa." Even if we say halacha is like Rav Papa, meaning that, alright, it doesn't sound like it is, but if you say it is like Rav Papa, then, Nagach Shor, Chamor, Vigamal. If he goes ahead, so see, this is beginning to address some of the questions you have. If he goes ahead and he gores three different animals, right, Nasem Muadakol. Then he becomes a Muadakol because he's now shown that he's goring animals, and then the species is irrelevant to him. When species comes into the
middle.
Oh, that's right, so good, right, what does that mean, Muadakol? And I would assume the answer is. Right. Either right. You have to say, according to Rav Papa, that when Lava Kol means only for animals and not necessarily for right, not necessarily for Adam. Right. We're going to see that again in the Gemara about the Sin Tim Tzalamra. So now these next cases. Tan Rabbana, Ra'ah Shor Nagah. Saw Shor and gored it. Shor Lo Nagah. Right. Then it saw another Shor and did not gored it. Okay. Shor Nagah. Right, this is the dumbest question. Then it saw another shore, did score it. Shore, lo nagach. And then it had another shore, did not nagach. Shore nagach. Again, it does the shore, nagach. Shore lo nagach. So, nasim mu'ad l'seirugim l'shvarim. It becomes mu'ad to gore every alternate shore. Because a mu'ad to gore every other shore. So, it's exactly your question, David. What happens if he sees all these animals in between? Right, it's we're gonna get up. Oh, very good. The Gemara is gonna bring that. So that exactly what you're saying. The Tosfos points out here the problem now already. Now you see the Gemara is leaning heavily towards Rav Papa. Because what did the Gemara say over here? That if he gores every other time ashore, he has muad seirugim lishvarim. According to Rav Papa, right, that's true. But according to Rav Zid, Rav Zid says that when he's muad for one behema, he's muad for any behema. So the Gemara should have concluded over here, Mu'ad Seirugim, L'chol Be'ema. So he tells us right away, he says, V'im Tomar the Rav Zvid, Akele L'chol Devar Yimu'ad. So he says, listen to what the Tosfos has to do to help Rav Zvid over here. He says, V'im Tomar, don't you rush, Shar Behemoth, L'Nagachan. In between, he also saw other behemoth which he did not gore, which made him a Tom for those animals because he's reversing it. Well, you see already that the Gemara is clearly leaning towards Rav Papa because according to Rav Zvid, you have to come up with this unusual case to make him fit into this. Now, Tan Rabbanan. Ra'ash Shor Nagach. Sees an ox and he devours it. Chamor lo nagach. Sees a donkey, does not gore. Sus, he sees a horse, nagach. Gamal lo nagach. Sees a camel, doesn't gore him. Parrot, he sees a parrot which is a mule, nagach. Right? Arod, which is a wild, chamor abar, it's a wild donkey, lo nagach. So now you have every other time he's goring, but it's a different species each time. So then, nasem mu'ad seirugim lakol. And here it becomes a mu'ad for every other time for any animal because we just established, I mean, all they're doing is defining the last two principles which we established. We established a point for Rav Papa, if he does multiple species, he becomes mu'ad l'chol behema. Second thing we just established, if he does l'seirugim, he becomes mu'ad l'seirugim. So if you take the two together, multiple species l'seirugim, according to Rav Papa, what are you going to have? You're going to have it be, right, every other time you're going to be mu'ad l'chol behema. That's it. Right. So that's Mitzvah Kol. So now, Tosfos asks again here, according to Rav Zvid, right, what's the Kiddush over here? According to Rav Zvid, if he only did every other shore, he'd be Mu'ad L'chol Be'ema. What do you need all these multiple animals over here? That's the question going again. The Gemara here is leaning towards Rav Papa. Rav Zid is not, it doesn't work so well with Rav Zid. So it comes up that has to be a chiddush, that even though he saw the other species in between, that's not considered a reversal. Right? That even though he saw the other species, it's not considered a reversal. So he goes to a chiddush Rav Zid. But you see again, the Gemara here is really following over and over again Rav Papa's shita. Ibai Lahu. Now we have a question. Again, David, this is what you were really focused on when you asked your question before. Now we're going to come up with all these great cases. Now, Gav, sure, then Chamor v'Gamal, Mahu. Right? What is the din? He gored three Shvarim, then a Chamor, and then a Gamal. What's the problem? Hai Shor Batra Batar Shvarim Shadin and Leng. That last Shor, the third goring that he did with the Shor, how do we parse the goring that he did? Do we say there were three Shvarim that he gored and he became a Muad the Shor? Right? Zakati the Shvarim who the Ayes, the Midah Chvini lo Ayes. Right, so that you have three Shvarim, so you have Muad the Shor, but not other behemoth. Odilma, Hai Shor Batra, Batar, Chamor, Begamal, Shadin, and Light. Do we put the Shor after the Chamor, Begamal, and therefore those three make him into Muad the whole species?
Why
the Kulu mean it?
But he didn't repeat the pattern for the second set.
Well, he doesn't have to repeat a pattern, just as we saw before. If you gore three different species, then automatically he's Mu'ad
Chol
Behema.
They take the third, Shor, Chamor.
The third Shamor, and then the Chamor and Gamal. Right, it's a good question. Right. It seems in the Gemara that they're not willing to have it go both ways, but you're right, why couldn't it be? The next question is going to answer that. Now, the Gemara asks an additional question. The Gemara asks, what happens the other way around? Chamor v'Gamal, Shor v'Shor. Mahu. Over here, what's the din? Right, Hai Shor Kama Batar Chamor v'Gamal Shadin and Leng. Do we throw the Shor after the first three two gorings, which are the other species, the Ayle Kulimine, and then he's Muad the Kulminim? But then what about the Shvarim Shadin and Leng? Akat the Shvarim who the Ayle Mina Achrei Lo Yai. Again, point out something.
This is an easy question.
Your question, I'll point out two things here. One is, this Gemara is clearly like Rav Papa. Let's start. Because according to Vid, it's irrelevant. I mean, depending, no matter, even if he became three Shvarim, or if he becomes Shor Gamal Chamor, he's Muad the Chol Behema, according to Rav Zvid. So again, here, again, it's very clear that the Gemara is leaning towards who? Rav Papa. Right, number one. Number two, Tosfos points out something like you were suggesting, David, which is that the Gemara is actually an Imtim Salomar. Right, that the Gemara's cases here, as opposed to looking at two independent cases, the Gemara was actually asking an Imtim Salomar. Why? Because in the first case, there was reason to believe, right?
It could be either.
Right, that it could be either, or that it's more likely to be either. If it nearly be, right, so if he says, if you look in the middle, the first Tosfos, it's at the last wide line, in the middle of the last wide line, it's nearly be, the honey tree bayot be Imtim Salomar. Right, that it's an Imtim Salomar. The Shor Batashvarim Shadin and Leh, the Ketre Tamit. Right, in the first case, there's two reasons to believe, right, that the Shor, the third Shor, should belong to the first two. Right, the Svar of the Mishnei Batar Kamai. First of all, there's a Svar to say that it should be, the first three should matter, because that's what he did first. Ubatar Shvarim, Shain Mino. And also, because he was consistent in his mean, there's two reasons to believe that once he creates a consistent pattern, so that should be the case. But, once you say that, Ubatar Shvarim, Shain Mino, Chamor, Gamal, Shor, when we switch around, Mahu. Which they didn't lay butter kamai, butter shvarim, shein mino. Right over there, there's only one question, right? Not that it came first, right? That you lose that part that it came first, because you're right. David pointed out. Once he does, Gamor Gamal Bashor, that should be in the story. That's not the question anymore. The only question now becomes, is that do we put it because he's now categorized a certain type of species where he's going after them over and over again, right? Maybe that is establishing some sort of pattern, and it should be sure. So you only have one reason to believe it should be that way. That's why the Reed says it's an Imtim Salomar. Now the Gemara is going to do the same thing. The Gemara asks this question with Gabbai species. Now it's going to ask it the Gabbai days. It's going to say, what happens if you have Shabbat, and you have his gourd for three Shabbatot in a row, then on the after the third Shabbos, he does Echad B'Shabbos B'Sheni B'Shabbos. He does Sunday and Monday. So it's the same concept in days as you have by species.
The first three, right? The first three were the same Shabbos?
No, different three different Shabbatot. Then on the last Shabbos, he continues to do it on then Sunday and Monday. Right, Mao. Hashabbat by Trait, the brother Shabbat, who did Shadin and Leh. We throw the third Shabbat after the first two Shabbats. Now he's a more the Shabbat, not more the Chol. Or, Vakat the Shabbat, who the Yai, the Mount Chol Go Yai. Udilma, but there are Chabbat Shabbat, Shabbat Shabbat, Shadin and Leh. By the Kula Yoma. Again, or do we go after the last three, which shows that he just every day he's goring, and it should be, irrespective of the day, he should be a Moaz. Now again, according to the reader, this is going to be a question of Imtim Salomar. Because then what happens if he gored? Hey, B'Shabbat, Thursday, the Erev Shabbat, and then on Friday, and then B'Shabbat, that Shabbat. Then, after that, he gored only the subsequent Shabbat and the Shabbat afterwards. He gored one Shabbat, two Shabbat, three Shabbat afterwards. Mouth. Hashabbos Kamaita Batar Hei Shabbos Rebbe Shabbos Shatinan Leif. So he puts that first Shabbos we established with the Thursday Friday, and therefore he's Mu'at Ay the Kula Yom. Oh, Dilma! Hashabbos Kamaita Batar Shabbos Totu the Shatinan Leif. That first Shabbos belongs, right, to the other two Shabbos afters where he establishes a pattern of only going on Shabbos. Ulu Shabbos Totu the Yayeh, right, and not for Yimecho. Teku, the Gemara leaves this in a Teku, an unsolved, it's an unsolved question about when we have these items, these five types of pouring, that middle item, does it belong to the first set or to the second set?
But this is implying, maybe I'm wrong, but this is implying that if a shor gores on Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, he'd only be muad on Monday, Tuesdays, and Fridays.
You have to establish a reason why he wouldn't.
It's probably more actually said what he did.
So the only chiluk would be Shabbos and any chiluk.
Right, you have to come up with a some sort of svara to establish why he wouldn't be right. Well, if you think anyway, if the next week he does Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, and then the following week he does Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, then you would be right. He would establish such a pattern. But we're going to see in a minute that there's a difference between establishing a pattern for a given day and then establishing it's what's called sirugim, which is called jumping or a pattern that repeats itself, a repetitive pattern. Yeah. And it's different to establish what is considered to be mu'ad for a species, mu'ad for a particular day, versus being mu'ad for a pattern. And a pattern is established in a different manner than you would establish a mu'ad for a specific species in days. That's next mark. Nagach shor, gorz is shor, yom tet vav b'chodesh zeh, yom tet dayin b'chodesh zeh, yom yudayin b'chodesh zeh. Because each month, first month he gorz him on the 15th of the month, the second month on the 16th of the month, and the third month he does it on the 17th of the month. Zeb Pukhtad Rabbi Shmuel. This is Machokhtad Rabbi Shmuel. And David has, and before, this reminds him of Vestos by Nida, and that's exactly what the Gemara is going to bring here. The Itmar. Rata, if a woman sees Yom Teba Bechodizeh, Yom Teb Zayim Bechodizeh, Yom Yuzayim Bechodizeh, she sees the 15th of 1 month, the 16th the next month, 17th the next month. Rava Mar Kabbalah Vestos. She's established the Vestos. That is her pattern now. Her pattern is to see each month a subsequent day in the following month. And that is the Vestos. Shmuel Mar. Achit tishalesh bidiluk, until the diluk, until the skip part happens three times, you will not establish a pattern. Now I will, alright, I'm just going to read the rest of the Gemara and then come back to the Rishonim here. There's a very important things to read in the Rishonim. Amarava. Shema kol shofar v'nagach. So here's a shofar, and it goes in gores. Kol shofar v'nagach, kol shofar v'nagach. Here's a kol shofar three times, and it goes in gores. Nasim v'mua the shofarot. Then he becomes a mu'ad. Every time he hears a shofar, he'll be a mu'ad to gore. That'll be the principle. So Mar says, Peshito, what else would you have thought? I mean, he just proved that out. So every time he blew the shofar, that he gored. So Mar the same shofar kamo, yuta be'alma hu denakse. It's to say that the first time he heard the shofar, he got scared. And that's why he gored. Not because it had any relationship to the shofar, but the first one's just out of fear. So Mar says, no, kamash malon, that even the first one we consider to be part of the pattern, and therefore once he's done it three times, that establishes the pattern. So, what we'll speak about here is Rashi. Rashi is an important Rashi, because the question is if Rashi really holds of what he wrote right here. Alright, we'll read the Rashi, and then we'll see whether this is the case. I'll mention it to you, and then I'll point you out the Rashi that we mentioned before that shows that this may not be the case. So Shmuel Mar Rashi is the Shalesh B'dilu, that's the Rashi. Ema Betet Tavua, Ashitir E, Ri'a Ri'it. So she sees the fourth time, biyut ches. And the ri'iya kamaisa lavi minyana, the la bedilu chazit. Right? That the first one doesn't count, because you don't see that in a skipping pattern. Right? I was going to make the same point, but maybe we'll see the Tosus in a minute. But that to establish a fixed day, for instance, that the woman always sees on the 15th of the month, all you need is three times to do that, because each time she sees it on the 15th month, now you've established a pattern that three times she's seen it on the 15th of the month. If you want to establish a pattern of days in between, right, a spacing between days, then when you only have 3 days, you've only proved two spaces. Because the first time she sees on the 15th, that all that does is demarcate where you start counting the space from. It doesn't give you a pattern of spacing between the days. I mean, say, for instance, 31 days, or whatever it is here. In the Jewish month, it's not going to be exactly that way. But let's just say, establish that here is 31 days. If every 31 days she has her vestet, right, the first time she sees on the 15th, that didn't establish anything. The second time she sees, that's the first time you establish she has a 31 day. Right. Then the second day that she, 10th time she sees it, that's 30, right, that's another second 31 days. And then the fourth time she sees it, that's the third 31 day span that we have.
What's Rav's?
According to Rav, begimon negichos nasim ad bezivug. Umeshalim nezek shalem bishlishit on the third one. Ulushmoel actually got revi'it until he gored on the fourth time. So according to just Rashi right now, this is not how I would have read the simple piece of the Gemara. What did Rashi just say? Rashi says, Machlokes ben Rav and Shmuel is whether you establish the Chazaka on the third time or on the fourth time. If I was saying this to you, I would say, listen, if on the third time he gored, he becomes a Mu'az. That means, according to Rav, on the fourth time, right, on the fourth time, then he would be a Mu'az. And according to Shmuel, it takes four times to establish the Chazaka. Then only on the fifth time, when he gored the fifth time, he becomes a Mu'az. That's not what Rashi said. Rashi says over here that on the third time, he becomes a Mu'az, right? And then, according to Rav, that means the third time he will pay Nezer Shalem. And according to Shmuel, on the fourth time, right? Then on that fourth time, he will be a Mu'ad already, and he'll pay Nezer Shalem, not on the fifth time afterwards. Oh, very good. Excellent. So now, Rashi runs into a problem here in our Gemara. We just had a whole bunch of Gemaras that just said that he's a Mu'ad only after he does something three times, on the fourth time. So this is what Rashi does with his Braisa. He says, V'nira d'hach Braisa na'mi da'atin in la'el, Rosh Shor v'nagach, Shor v'lo nagach, L'rav nasin mu'ad, D'gtani ashku shit ka'i. The Rav would believe that means nasin mu'ad means on that third time, he would have to pay. L'shmach, from nasin mu'ad to serugim, that ki ha'adar nagach, we go again afterwards, but that was nasin shalei. So Rav just got to play around with the bright though to make it work. So, Shaul points out, right, very astutely, that we mentioned in the background, Dab Chav Gimel Amud Bet, there was a machlokis in the Mishnah, or how do we explain the Mishnah by Torah? And over there we had a machlokis between Rava, right, and the explanation of Chav Gimel Amud Bet, it was between, right, very good, between Abai and Rava. And Rashi said that the nafkamina between their opinions was that Rava believed that on the third time, the third is Yichatel, they became a Mu'ad. You didn't have to wait until the fourth time to become a Mu'ad, you were automatically Mu'ad on the fourth time. This is Rashi Lashitato there, because we would pass him like Rav over Abaye. So Rashi Lashitato says that on the third goring, you get paid as a shalim on that third time. You don't have to wait for the fourth time to pay. But we know that Tosfos over there says that Rashi, right, elsewhere, retracted his position. So if Rashi retracted his position over there by Rav on Chav Gimel Bet, that would indicate that he also retracted his position over here on that on the diamond of Beth, and that's what the Marsha points out. The Marsha and others point out that Rashi was closing every carriage to death based on the Gemara, based on what Tosfos says on that Chav Gimel and Beth, that Rashi changed his mind, and that this is Rashi's Shitato based on what he said in Rava's position on Chav Gimel and Beth. Then, according to this, right, then Rashi would also believe that it's on the fourth time and the fifth time before you would pay Nezek Shalem. Now Tosfos, right, show us about Rav's position. Tosfos says, narrows down their machlokas. Tosfos says over here, the Tosfos on the right, which is very important for Nidal, and has major implications for Vestos. Tosfos says, V'nira, the gimel pamim b'tepa b'chodesh v'kuli yama abim mu'at. Everybody agrees. If you do it three times on the 15th of March, you're mu'at. U'benida nami kovet v'tah apakal t'lek el shtei pamim. So pamidyom, even though it's after 30 days, only twice, the lav so pamidyom garim. Right? What's causing her to have a method here is not because there are 30-day intervals, but because the date, the same date of the month, always comes up. So what you're establishing is not intervals, but you're establishing fixed dates. The big difference. If you establish fixed dates, you've now had the third fixed date. If you're establishing intervals, you've only had two intervals, you need a third interval. Hecha, he skipped down about four or five lines there, then he says, Hecha, the ain't shame hayom goreim, is not the physical day like Tetvav Chodesh, velo shame minyana chodesh, and that's the date. So it's not a particular day or a particular date, right? Then the kulei ama enari shonot min aminyan. That's the fifth dream garden. Even according to Rav, he would agree that when you have to go to the dilugim, like you were asking, Shaul, then how do you explain Rav's position? And without four times, you can't establish an interval of three. I mean, you can only get three intervals if you have four times. So everybody agrees to that. Right, so therefore, right there, he's narrowing down their machlokas over here. So you see, if everybody agrees when it's on the day itself, then it is kavua based on three. If it's dealing with intervals, everybody agrees that you need three different intervals over here. Right, lefika, if you go down towards the way, lefiza, right off the Mishnah in Tosfos, where it says Mishnah in the Gemara, it says lefiza, im nagach yom echad, v'yom bet, lo nagach, yom gimel nagach, yom dal nagach, yom hei nagach, yom vav lo nagach, then he will not become a mu'ad until he repeats this, right? Three times, meaning that three times the interval. The first ones will not be, right, from the minyan.
So he says the tema. Now I have a problem with the suspicion. The guy be rosh shor v'nagda, rosh shor v'lo nagda. I have a rishon min a minyan. So he says that when I tell when I said the shvarim, we said before that if he sees a shor, then skips a shor, sees a shor, skips a shor. Over there he says three times is enough. So he says zarek mechalik, and I think it's easy to mechalik here. Ben tigurim shal yomim, and tigurim shal shvarim. The difference between intervals. When you talk about days, you can talk about intervals. Right? I mean that a day, a spacing of a day, is an interval, a time interval. That makes sense. So we want to establish a time interval, that's a period of time. And then we want to establish that, you say, I need three intervals to establish a pattern. When he's not at Shvarim, when he scores one short, doesn't score the other, it goes to short, the interval, it's not, the interval is not what you're trying to establish. The interval is not important, because the amount of time of spacing is not exact each time, it just happens to be that he sees the short in between. That's why I think my Tosfos has been mechalik here, that when he sees the Shvarim each time, he's just establishing a pattern with regards to the shore itself, when he sees the shore, not about the interval. The same regime comes about because it's the poliosis, the fact that he sees one, doesn't see, you know, Gorin doesn't see the other one. It's not the interval, but rather the fact that he sees the Shvarim.
Go back to the Yiddish. What did Tosfos have Tosfos from that? What's
right, the question comes up in our case over here. For Tosfos, the Mechos in Rav Shmuel do not with Yiddish, because what the pattern over here is, and you see the 15th of the month, the 16th of the month, and the 17th of the month. So my focus between Rav and Shmuel is how are they establishing, how are you establishing the Kviyos method here? Are you establishing it based on the day of the month, which is the Rav is suggesting? It's 15, 16, 17. Right? Then I don't need the deal. I don't need the deal to establish it, therefore after 3 is enough. Right, a month, right. Shmuel is saying that it's a month, it's really a 31-day interval, and therefore I need the next time to establish that interval. Right, the 31-day interval, and that's what's creating the pattern. That's here, they're machlokes, he narrows it down. Tosfos narrows down the machlokes, it's simply this unique case, where it's uncertain whether we're really after the interval or the day of the month. Right, so this Mishnah, Shor Shor Yisrael, Shnagach Shor Shor Hezdeish, Lo Shor Hezdeish, Shnagach Shor Shor Hezdeish, Patur. Right, so that if a qualification between a Shor of a person and a Shor of Hezdeish comes up, either way is Patur. Shnemar, Shor Re'eyu, Velo Shor Shor Hezdeish. And the puzzle says, when it comes to being Mechayev Shvarim, it only applies to Shor Re'ehu. Shor Re'ehu, his Hekdesh is not your friend, so therefore you're not going to be Chayav, or Hekdesh is not going to be Chayav when they score you either. Shor Shel Yisrael, Shnagach Shor Shel Knani, Patur. A Shor of Yisrael that scores a Shor of a Knani is Patur. Shor Knani, Shnagach Shor Shel Yisrael, Bentan Ben Yuad, Shor Nezek Shalem. Now then, if a Knani Shor scores a Yisrael Shor, well, it's the time of Umar, he pays Nezek Shalem. I'm going to defer discussion of this second half of the Mishnah tomorrow. The Gemara discusses it. The tremendous amount of issue with the Rishonim that they talk about what happened here. Why is the case like this? What does it have to do? Is there bias here or not? So we'll deal with that tomorrow based on the Gemara. What we'll do with today is just close out the Hekdesh Sugya, and then we'll deal with the Shur Shnaga Chani tomorrow. But Nisa the Lo Rav Shimon Ben Atzia. Right? Our Mishnah is not Rav Shimon Ben Atzia. The Tanya. Shor Shel Hedyot Shnagach Shor Shel Hekdesh. A shore of a layperson that gores a shore of hekdesh, vishal hekdesh nagach shor shel yidot patur. Right, that's the Tanakh's position. That's the position of our Mishnah itself. That doesn't matter if the layperson shore gored the hekdesh shore or the hekdesh shore gored the layperson. Right, patur. Shneimar shor reyu below shor shel hekdesh. Says shor reyu in the pasuk, and once it says shor reyu, right, he goes shor yishu shor reyu. Hekdesh is not your friend, and therefore hekdesh is excluded from the parsha of shore. Rabbi Shimon ben Atzia Omer, Shor Shel Hekdesh Negach, Shor Shel Yidot, Patur. That is true when a Hekdesh Shor gores a layperson Shor, they are Patur. But, Shel Hekdesh Shor, Negach, Shor Shel Yidot, Hekdesh, I'm sorry, the other hand, a layperson Shor that gores that of Hekdesh, Bentam, Bemuad, Mishalim, Yitzik, Shalim. Doesn't matter if it's the time of what he pays, full damages. It's clear Rabbi Shimon ben Atzia is not the author of our Mishnah. Now we want to know, what is this position? How did Rabbi Shimon ben Atzia come up with his unusual position? Amrei Makas Zav Rav Shimon. And what does Rav Shimon believe? Ire Eil Dapka. If Eil means that it must be a lay person involved in the altercation, meaning that it has to be between two lay people, then Afilu Shel Hodjo Shenaga Shel Hekdesh Lipater. Then even when a lay person Shor Gor Zed of Hekdesh, he should also be Patur. The demand of the pasuk is Shor Ish and Shor Eil. If you're going to say Dapka, then Hekdesh, anything to do with Hekdesh should be eliminated. The Reu Lapdaska, if you say Reu, it doesn't literally mean Reu. It could mean anybody. Then a Hekdesh is included. Then, Afu the Hekdesh Namiki, Nagas the Hekdesh is Chayat. If you say it means Lapdaska, Reu means anybody, then even when Hekdesh damages the layperson, sure, he should also be Chayat, because you're saying it's Lapdaska, Reu is not Dapka. Bechite, Molam, Kasava, Reu Dapka. What do you want to say? No. Reu means absolutely. It has to be two lay people.
Umiu the hedgehog, he nagam the hektesh, but when a lay person's shore damages that hektesh, hainu tamid v'chaye, why do chayav? The shum to come might lay v'kava chomer. Right? That he's gonna bring that from a kava chomer. Why? The hedgehog, from hedgehog, what is that? My hedgehog, she nagam shal hedgehog chayav. If a lay person's shore is nagah, gored another lay person's shore, you are chayav. Ki nagam the hektesh. If it goes in and gored that hektesh, so koshke that you have to pay? And that should be a koshke. The mechayev, that he should be chayav. Mar says, okay, fine, use that kava chomer, but the yola vomin adin the yod kini don. That when we establish a kava chomer, you can't create something that's more chamor than the kava chomer which is coming from. Why? What is the by hedjot? What's the din? A lay person shore that scores another lay person shore. What's the din? Tom pays chatzi nezek, muad pays nezek shalem. So now you're saying I'm taking a kava chomer from here and putting it into hektesh, and he's saying by hektesh that it pays shalem for everything, nezek shalem even by Tom. What about the yola vomin adin? What can you do? Mala haman tam chatzi nezek, or kanami chatzi nezek? Ella must be a different limud here. Ella amar reish lakish akola yu bechlal nezek shalem. Truthfully, everybody and everything should pay nezek shalem. Why? Because the first piece parsha that's mentioned in the Torah is the parsha of muad. That's v'chi gak short ish oed isha. Right, and then we said oh beni gak vadi gak v'fred zei asedo. That is nezek shalem. So nezek shalem, the Torah establishes the principle that everybody and everything pays nezek shalem. Then the Torah, later on, a couple of psukim later, right, gives a dispensation. That dispensation is for Tom. Right? The dispensation that the Torah gives later on is b'chi gof shor et shoreyu, tereif et shoreyu. Only when you have an altercation between two layman's shvarim, right? Then, do you have the dispensation of Tom? That's what tells you that by Tom you are paying chatinetic. That dispensation only applies between shoreish and shoreyu. That dispensation is not available to Hektesh. That's what Rav Shimon Menasseh is saying. Listen, everything's chayav nezek shalem. Now, you want to remove the nezek shalem, right? Alright, fine. How do you remove the nezek shalem? I have a pasuk that tells me by Tom. But the pasuk that tells me by Tom only applies to two lay people. Shoreish is shoreyu. Because if it wanted to establish, right, the fact that what? That Hektesh is totally patur. That's your other option, right? Your other option is that Hektesh should not be like shore of a hedjot, but it should be totally patur. Then Nifto Kra is Re'ehu Gabi Mu'ad. Then the Torah, if he wants to give this dispensation to Hektesh, even by Nezek Shalim, it should have put the term Re'ehu by Shor Mu'ad. If it put the term of Shore'ehu by Mu'ad, then we would have said that even by a Mu'ad, that when you gore a Hektesh, you're totally patur. The fact that it doesn't say that by Shomuad says that by Muad you're Nezek Shalem. By Tom, you are Patu, you would be, you think Patu Legamri, no, you pay Nezek Shalem because you don't have that dispensation. The one thing we did not answer, or did not deal with, is why when Hektesh damages a layperson's shore, why is Hektesh Patur? Based on the way that we're learning the Sukim now, then Muad, everybody pays Nezek Shalem. By the dispensation of Tom, it only applies to two lay people. Based on that, then when Hektesh damages a lay person, sure, it also should be Chayav. And yet, Rav Shimon Menasseh also believes that it's Patur. So Rashi says that, he learned that out of it. Rashi gives actually two pshatim here, I haven't learned. But when over here he says, how do we know that Hektesh behedjot Patur? If you look in Rashi, the imkain. Of all Hektesh behedjot Patur. The Hektesh, afilu bichlamu adlo hayah. When it comes to Hektesh damaging a layperson's shore, it's not even included in Muad. Why? Because one of the principles of Muad, right, in the parsha of Muad, is Behu'ad bi'alav. That their Ba'alim became, right, that's what the Machlokes before was, became aware of the fact that their shore is a Muad. That it means, or implies, that they're Ba'alim to the shore. Ba'alim to the shore is not true of, right, not true of the fact that a Hektesh. Hektesh is not a Baal. Right? They are.
Yeah, but Huad doesn't apply to a short time. It's not a Hektesh.
Oh, so Vikosh came to Tom. It says, certainly by Tom, the same Chigor, short ish. By Tom, it also uses the term short ish and short re'eyu. There, it says that it has to be short ish. It says both Mu'ad and Tom, right, are excluded from the Parsha because they are, when it comes to Hektesh damaging somebody else, they're excluded from the Parsha. It says Mu'ad Balav by Mu'ad, and it says short ish by Tom. That's why they're patur. Whenever Hektesh does damage, they're out of the picture. Now, what's left is you damaging Hektesh. You damage Hektesh, then by Mu'ad, There's no difference. We don't see any difference between Hekdesh and there's no Shor Re'eyu. No difference. Therefore, everybody's chayv Nezek Shalem. Comes to Tam, that dispensation for Tam is only available to Shor Re'eyu. When you damage another lay person's Shor.
But the Chiyuv for Tam
says, based on that, what you're questioning is, why did I just say, right, Ein Ochanami, but Mu'ad, you are chayav, right, Nezek Shalem. And then by Tam, since I don't have that dispensation, you'd be Patur or the Gamrit. So first of all, the Gemara says over here, it should have written Re'eyu by Mu'ad if it really wanted to do that, then it could have gotten rid of Mu'ad itself. In fact, the writer by Tom comes to teach me something about Tom. But you think, okay, fine, teach me something by Tom, that Tom is totally Pater by Ekdesh, right, and by Mu'ad it'll be Mechai Tzitzik Shalem. So Rashi has a principle here, which he establishes, Tosfos disagrees with, right, that Rashi establishes a general principle that if and who had the store the gamrei tam the ekdesh radio became the tam patur moad nami tam tapatur. That's what Tosfos says over here, that the din of store of tam cannot be where tam is patur and then moad is nezek shalem. The only way you can have a moad be chayav is if a tam is chayav. If a tam is patur, then a moad will also be patur. There's some sort of equation, right, between the two, that says that only when there's mu'ad is built on top of a tam. Right, if sometimes we have it from Yehuda as a position, tad tamut be'at and komo medit. That really when you go at mu'ad, someone goes mu'ad, it's half tam and half mu'ad, because it's just adding on to it. But that's an extreme position. But nevertheless, Tosfos says that is a general position, that mu'ad is built on the position of tam, and that unless you're chayav by tam, you can't get the mu'ad to be chayav mu'ad shalim. Therefore, the Gemara is unable to say that over here by Tam you'd be totally patur, because then the Gemara couldn't get to that next leap, which is that Mu'ad is Chayav Nezek Shalem. I assume that it could be that the position of Tosfos is established by the fact the way that Tam is phrased, V'chatzu et Katzpo. The fact that V'chatzu et Katzpo establishes that there's a Nezek Shalem, V'chatzu et Katzpo means that I'm diminishing it. Now, that does have to do with the Malchlokas, of whether Palga, that, whether when we say Chati Nezek, it's Palga Nizka Mamona or Palga Nizka Kansa, but it really should be zero, and we're adding a Kansa of a half, or the other way around, it should be a full, cut it down to a half. And if you say Palga Nizka Mamona, it's easier to understand the position of Tosfos, because really your Chayim is a Shalem, the Torah, the Chat, the Lechon, it removed half of it. But that means in order to get up to Mu'ad, you really need to have the Tam in place. If you're totally puzzled by Tam, that means that you're really not Chayav in the first place. You know, the whole idea of Tam is that you were Chayav the whole thing, and we knocked it down. By Palga Nizka Kansa, I think it is harder to establish this logic of Tosfos. That means that if you have a half, it goes up to a whole, because really, you're really Patur. We have a Knaas that says, do this to watch your Shor, and then we build up to Mu'ad. I think you could still say it, but I don't think it's as strong as if you say Palga Nizka Mamonahu. Alright, we'll stop over here.